Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see each and every one of you. We're thankful for the opportunities that we have with one another to worship God in spirit and in truth. Today we are, well, I am mindful and thankful for the elders that we have here at Sandyville. My preaching career kind of started out when I was 18. I subbed in for a preacher who had cancer, and then it just kind of snowballed from there. And then I found myself preaching almost every Sunday at various congregations, and these congregations just found themselves in situations where they did not have men that were qualified for elders, and I was put in a lot of hard situations. I'll just put it that way. So I'm very thankful for the elders we have here at Sandyville, and certainly I'm thankful for their willingness to listen, their willingness to try to hear from everyone, try to consider all points of view of the flock, and trying to make decisions that are best for all of us. So we are thankful for them.
Amen.
This week, certainly we have Memorial Day. And certainly Memorial Day is a special day for many of us as we consider so many of those people that we have lost, so many people that have died for freedom, that have sacrificed so much for the things that we have, so many things that we cannot take for granted. But memorials are special. And what I find to be incredibly interesting is if you look at memorials through the Bible is not short when it comes to that category. Is we can look through the Bible and over again, God is establishing memorials. He's establishing things for people to look at, that they can look at and they can remember. And I think that's one of the core questions this morning is, why do we need to remember? Why do we need to remember? And I thought about that this week in preparation for the lesson. And I think that when we don't remember, it leads to very bad and negative things. Now, you can view it in a different way, is that you can view that these things happen and then somebody forgets, or people forget and then these things happen. But I think that there are three things that are really connected to not remembering that we must avoid. Number one is indifference. Is that when we forget, don't we become indifferent? Or perhaps we become indifferent and then we forget. Indifference is something that a Christian should avoid, particularly when it comes to spiritual things. The Bible even talks about this in Revelation, talking to one of the churches, saying to the church at Laodicea, you have become lukewarm. What is the message? Is that you have become indifferent. You don't really care either way. You're just kind of going with the flow. So not remembering has a danger with it, a danger of indifference. A second danger when it comes to not remembering is being ungrateful or unthankful. Is that when we forget, or perhaps as it leads into us forgetting, is that when we forget or we don't remember, we are unthankful and ungrateful. Number three is, I think that when we don't remember, we make mistakes. Now, when we think of Memorial Day this week, certainly if we don't take this date seriously, if we don't consider the sacrifices of the past in relation to our country, is it possible that we could become indifferent to those sacrifices? Should we forget about them to the point that we're indifferent? We just kind of go with the flow. We forget about all the laws and all the sacrifices of the past bringing us to this point in a physical way. Could we perhaps become ungrateful and unthankful for those sacrifices because we have forgotten, because we have chosen not to remember such sacrifices? And could, if we don't remember those sacrifices, could it lead to us making some terrible mistakes? I think it certainly could. What we want to do this morning is reflect on just a few memorials that God has in the Bible. There are many, but we're just going to focus on a few. The first one we're going to look at is in Genesis chapter 9. In Genesis chapter 9, verses 13 through 15, it says, I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth, and the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. You know, we kind of have the rainbow that is said here, and the rainbow is a sign of the covenant. It's a sign of a promise, and we see that God is going to kind of utilize this, but also it's a sign to the earth as well that God is not going to flood and destroy all flesh again. So when we see the rainbow, what should we remember? When we see the rainbow, what should we remember? Well, that's kind of a hard question, isn't it? Because when we see the rainbow, really a rush of memories should come to us. Well, what memories should come to us? Well, what we see in the beginning of Genesis as the chapters unfold, as we see the fall of Adam and Eve, and we see this process that takes place, but eventually we really get to a point where man is doing wickedness. In fact, the Bible tells us that man's mind is on wicked continually, and the whole world is basically turning against God, and we only have one family that is really following God, and we see that that is Noah. And God decides, what is he going to do? He's going to destroy the world with a flood, that he's going to save Noah and his family. So when you look at the rainbow, what are you to remember? Are you to remember the destruction? Are you to remember God's promise? Are you to remember that God saved Noah and his family? Are you to remember the ark? There's a lot there, isn't there? Is that the rainbow being a signal, a sign of this promise? But when we think of the promise, I think it's hard to not think about everything else that happened in this situation. It's like, yeah, you think about God promising not to destroy the world by water again in that manner. And you think of that, but then you're like, well, why did that happen? Well, man was wicked. Was anyone saved when this happened? Yeah, Noah was saved in his household. And how was he saved? Well, he saved because of the ark. When you start to think about all this, all these memories and all these things come back in relation to the situation just because of the sign of the rainbow. The rainbow leads us to the flood. The flood leads us to the ark. The ark leads us to Noah. Noah, what do we know about Noah? In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And you continue in that chapter, in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, you work your way down to verse 22, God gives him instruction. He tells Noah, he says, I'm warning you, Noah, that this flood is going to come. It's going to destroy all the earth because man is wicked, and I am going to give you an opportunity to be saved. And what's his opportunity? To build the ark. And God gives them instructions on how to build the ark. And in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22 it says, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Question, did Noah live a perfect life? No, he did not. Noah goes through this whole situation. He goes through this situation. The Bible says in the New Testament he's a preacher of righteousness. He goes through this whole situation. He builds the ark. He gets off the ark. And then what do we see Noah do when he gets off the ark? He actually gets drunk. And it seems like some things happen to him. He kind of gets taken advantage of. Noah wasn't a perfect person. Why are you making this point that Noah wasn't perfect? In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22 it says he did everything that God commanded him. What's your point? He did everything God commanded him to be saved. See, people struggle with that sometimes, don't they? Noah was not a perfect man. He certainly makes some mistakes. He gets off the ark, he makes some mistakes. Noah's not a perfect man, but when it came to Noah's salvation, him being saved in a very physical sense, he did all that God commanded him. How many times people run away from what God has said an individual has to do to be saved? Hasn't God given us an ark, the church? Hasn't God told us how to get into the ark, the church, so that we can be saved? How can we be added to the church? In the New Testament, we see that people are added to the church when they're baptized for the remission of their sins. They're added to the church. They're added to that saving vessel. God has given us a path of escape. Will we do all things that are commanded in that sense? Noah did not live a perfect life, but Noah knew enough that he needed to do what he needed to do in order to get his family on the ark to be saved. He followed God's instructions. He built the ark by the specifications that God had given. So you think about that. When we remember the rainbow, there's so much more that comes to our memory. You think of the destruction. Why is the destruction happening? Because of the wickedness of man. Who is saved? Noah and his family. Why are they saved? He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He did what God commanded him to do when it came to the instructions of building the ark. Do we remember such things? You know, memorials bring connections. Memorials bring connections. When we think of the rainbow, we think of the whole story of Noah. We think of the people in Noah's day. We think about Noah. We think about his family. We think about the ark. We think about the destruction. We connect all these things together. The rainbow leads us there to all of those connections, to remember all of these things to help us as we go throughout our lives. You know, the ark and Noah's flood is brought all throughout the New Testament. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20-21, it says, "Who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, 8 souls, were saved through water. There is also an antitype that doth now save us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." God, way back here in Noah, He puts the rainbow. He puts the rainbow, and when we think of the rainbow, we remember the flood, we remember the promise, we remember the ark, we remember Noah, we remember that whole situation. Then we get to the New Testament, and what does God do? He brings it up again. He said, you should try to know this account of Noah. And knowing this account, we can compare it to the New Testament. And this is not the only time that we see it compared. When we go to Matthew chapter 24, when it's talking about the second coming of Jesus, in Matthew chapter 24, verses 37-39, it talks about the second coming of Jesus, and it says it's going to be very like Noah's time. People were eating, people were drinking, people were being married, and then what happened? The flood came. Matthew chapter 24, verses 37-38. We think of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. In Hebrews chapter 11, talking about the individuals in the Bible that demonstrate great faith. They heard what God said and they did it, even though it didn't make 100% logical sense on the physical plane of life. They just said, God said it, I'm going to do it. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, it says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. When we remember the rainbow, when we remember the flood, when we remember the promise, when we remember the ark, when we remember Noah, when we remember his family, when we remember all those things in that situation, does it help us to not be indifferent? Does it help us to be thankful? Does it help us to not make mistakes? You think about that. When we forget, whether these things precede forgetting or these things happen after forgetting, the danger of forgetting is this: indifference, ungratefulness, and mistakes. When we think back on the flood and we think of all the things that transpire, doesn't it help us when we remember that situation to not be indifferent? We're not being indifferent to what? God's command. God said, Noah, build the ark. And what did Noah do? He did everything that God commanded him in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22. He was not indifferent. He heard what God said and he says, I need to prepare this ark for the saving of my family. He was not indifferent. So we remember that. Also indifferent to God's commands on how to live our life. Because you think about, why is the flood coming in the first place? Because man's mind is on evil continually. Are we indifferent to what God says about how we should live our lives, how we should conduct ourselves at work, with our neighbor, in our community? Can the story of Noah and the flood, when we remember that, can it help us with thankfulness? You think Noah and his family were thankful? Thankful for an opportunity to have the ark. Thankful for the opportunity to be saved in that situation. You think they were thankful? They were. They were thankful for the opportunity that God had granted them. And you think that looking back on the flood, it can help us to not make the same mistake that the world did in that situation? We cannot forget. We cannot forget, because when we forget, it leads to indifference. When we forget, it leads to ungratefulness. When we forget, we make mistakes. So when we look at the rainbow, and we think of the promise, and we think of the flood, and we think of the ark, and we think of Noah, and we think of him following what God has said, doesn't it lead us away from indifference? Doesn't it lead us away from ungratefulness? Doesn't it lead us away from making the same mistake of the past? Let's look at something else from the Old Testament that was considered a memorial. you think of Passover and Exodus. If you go to Exodus chapter 12, you'll see kind of the tail end of what's going on. But we remember that Moses and Aaron are going back to Egypt. They're going to Egypt to free the Israelites that are enslaved in Egypt. And they get there and they ask Pharaoh if he will release the Israelites. And Pharaoh says, no, I'm not going to release close to a million, however many were at that time, a very big group of people. He said, I'm not going to release these slaves. I'm not going to release this group of people. So what do we have? We have the plague. And Moses and Aaron start working their way through the plague. And Pharaoh keeps saying, I'll let them go, and then keeps changing. But we get to the end, and what do we have? We have Passover, death of the firstborn. Is that what is going to happen is the firstborn is going to die in every household in Egypt, including livestock, unless God gives a protection that they need to kill the lamb and they need to put the blood on the doorpost. And if they put the blood on the doorpost, God will pass over and he will not kill the firstborn in the household where that blood has been applied. So this whole situation happens. The death of the firstborn, that day comes, and Pharaoh and Egypt is mourning. In fact, they're mourning to a degree that they give the Israelites gifts so they will get out of Egypt, which is pretty amazing when you step back and look at it. Now, God says this is going to happen. He tells Moses and Aaron, he says, when you leave, you're basically going to leave with gifts, which is crazy when you think about it, where the slaves leave with gifts. But that's exactly what happens after the death of the firstborn, is they say, Israelites, we want you out of here. You brought the frogs, you brought the lice, you brought the locusts, and they're considering all the plagues, and they said, now the death of the firstborn, get out of here, Israelites, and we're going to take some of this stuff with you because we don't want you here. And God wants them to remember how God got them out of Egypt. In Exodus chapter 12, verses 12 through 14, it says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Passover. God says, I want you to remember this. I don't want you to forget this. Well, God, why don't you want your people to not forget you getting them out of Egypt? Because if they forget that, you know what? The people of Israel will probably become indifferent. You know what? If they forget what God did to get them out of Egypt, not only might they be indifferent, but they might be ungrateful. And not only that, you know what they'll probably do? They'll probably make mistakes. See, remembering is important. It's important that we look back on those Old Testament lessons, as it says in Romans chapter 15, verse 4. All these things that were written before were written for your learning. We cannot forget those things of the past. We cannot forget the flood. We can learn from that. We cannot forget Passover. We can learn from that. And they had a feast in relation to Passover. And those stipulations are laid out in the Bible, so that these individuals would know what to do. You see some of it in Exodus chapter 13 and verse 6. It says, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. And on the seventh, there shall be a feast to the Lord. I mean, when it comes to Passover, God lays out a whole feast. He lays out this whole process to do what? To remember what God has done for them. Why? Because he doesn't want them to become indifferent. Are you indifferent? God doesn't want them to be ungrateful. Are you ungrateful? God doesn't want them to make mistakes. Are you making mistakes in relation to the past? Things that we should have already learned. Things that we should have been able to observe and take into ourselves and let them mold us and change us. Specifically, it says this should be a memorial for you. The blood will be a sign and I will pass over. It's a memorial throughout generations. You know, this is a memorial that starts back when they get out of Egypt. And how long do they keep this memorial? Well, what are they doing about the time that Jesus died? is Passover. Now, you start to think about that. Now, that is almost mind-boggling when you think about it. All these years ago, Exodus, he says, I need you to have the Passover lamb. I need you to put the blood on your door. And that's how you're going to be protected. We get all the way to the New Testament. What's happening? Jesus is being sacrificed as our sacrificial lamb. And we need his blood to be protected. Wait. They line up? Yes, they line up. Jesus is being sacrificed during this holiday, during this memorial feast that has been held for thousands of years. In fact, the Bible does not fade away from this idea at all. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. Since you truly are unleavened, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Jesus was our sacrificial lamb. We cannot forget. We think of the blood that protected them. There's a blood that protects us today. It cannot be forgotten about. But when you think about all these memorials that are laid out, all these memorials are really pointing to God. When you think about the rainbow, it points to God. God saved Noah. When you think of the Passover lamb, God offered an opportunity for these individuals to be saved. He offered an opportunity for Noah to be saved. Build the ark, Noah, and by faith, he built the ark. And then you get to Passover, and they're supposed to sacrifice this lamb, put the blood on the doors. By faith, those people had an opportunity to protect themselves. And in the New Testament, we have that same opportunity by faith. If God is going to tell us to do something, and are we going to do it? By faith. Well, what's faith? Well, in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you look through Hebrews chapter 11, we see all these great individuals of faith. And what do we see them doing? They hear what God says, and they do it. They hear what God says, and they do it. Did it make sense for Noah to build an ark? Not really, but he did it. Did it make sense for these people to put blood on their door? Not necessarily, but they did it. Why? Because God said so. When we come to the New Testament, God is going to ask us to do things by faith. Not by sight, our physical eyes, but by faith. What God has said, will we do it? Do you think that Passover and remembering Passover would help the people of Israel with indifference towards God? Do you think that remembering Passover might help the Israelites with their thankfulness towards God? Do you think that remembering the Passover might help the Israelites avoid mistakes? I think so. But you know why we do? It's because we forget. We've looked at the flood, we've looked at Passover, but now I'd like to get to the New Testament. You know, we have a memorial when it comes to the New Testament, do we not? Luke chapter 22 and verse 19, it says, he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do we not have a memorial before us this day? Well, why do we need a memorial in the New Testament? So that we don't become indifferent. So we don't become unthankful. So that we don't make mistakes. We're not any better than the Israelites. You look at the Israelites, they seem to forget all the time. You look through their process, they kept turning away from God, they would worship idols, they would turn away from God all these different times, and God always was trying to welcome them back, try to get them to come back. But why did that happen so many times? Because they forgot. They had become indifferent. They had become unthankful. They were making mistakes. Why? Because they had forgotten the Lord their God. They had forgotten what God had done for them. And so to this day, we have an opportunity to remember. Do this in remembrance of me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we see that the church at Corinth was struggling a little bit with the Lord's Supper. It looked like they were trying to make it into a common meal. And talking there in 1 Corinthians, that's just in context, but I'm just going to read what it's kind of saying more specifically to Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 26, it says, For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke and said, take ye, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. We have a memorial of the New Testament. And we think and we reflect, why would God want us to do this on Sunday? Why would God set this up on the first day of the week? Well, there's probably a lot of reasons. We think that this is the day that Christ arose, but we start to think about the sacrifice in general. But when we really think about it, God does not want us to forget. Because God knows if we forget the sacrifice of His dear Son, it'll lead to indifference. If we forget the sacrifice of God's Son, it will lead us to be unthankful and ungrateful. If we forget the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, it could perhaps lead our life into many mistakes. Yes, we do need to remember. You know, you look at what God has done for us, and when we do reflect and we take those few moments on Sunday to partake of those emblems, to try to block out the world and try to refocus on those things that really matter in our life, what a special opportunity that is. Can we not see the wisdom of God in that? That He has tried to keep the followers of Him away from indifference, away from unthankfulness, away from making mistakes, by giving us an opportunity to remember. Why would we forsake such a memorial? Why do so many people in the world forsake such a memorial? A memorial to keep us focused. A memorial to remind us of the sacrifice of God. You know, freedom has a high price. And when we think of Memorial Day, certainly that comes to our mind. But think about your spiritual freedom. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which God has made us free." How did Jesus make us free? He freed us from the bondage of sin. Well, how did He do that? By sacrificing Himself on the cross. He became a sacrifice for us, offering His blood, which can forgive us of our sins. Christ can make us free through His blood. Freedom comes at a high, high cost. And we remember that sacrifice every first day of the week. Well, why do we do that? So we don't become indifferent. Why would we do that? So we don't become unthankful or ungrateful. God forbid. And so that we don't make mistakes as we go throughout our daily lives. Because how easy it is to lose our focus in life. How easy it is to get focused on our job. How easy it is to get focused on all the things that impact us every day. The stresses of life, the anxiety, all these things that come at us. You know, politics, all these things that come at us. Focus on the death of Jesus Christ. Focus on His sacrifice. And Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 says, "On the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message to midnight." We see a pattern of the first day of the week. We see also giving on the first day of the week. We don't see it necessarily designated to any other day. We see the first day of the week, and we see that there is the first day of every week. And I think that's a good thing. Because how forgetful we are. How easy it is for us to forget those things that are truly important. How easy it is to forget those things that are around us each and every day that we should see, but somehow we don't see. We don't see that spouse that is constantly beside us day in and day out. How do we not see those things that are so important and so valuable? And yet God says, "You will remember on the first day of the week." You know, sometimes I think, I don't know how people get by without it, because I know that my life, even being a preacher and preparing lessons and everything, there are times in my week where I feel like my focus goes off here. My focus goes off here. But you know what? It doesn't matter how bad my week is. When I assemble with the saints on the first day of the week, I have a chance to remember that which is really important. Jesus Christ and His sacrifice. And remembering that pushes indifference away from my life. When I remember the sacrifice of Jesus, it pushes unthankfulness away from my life. When I think of Jesus Christ, it pushes many mistakes away from my life as we take the time to reflect. Do we see the value of remembering? Do you remember the God of the flood. Do you remember the God of Passover? Do you remember the God that sent his Son to die for each and every one of us? You know, when you think of those things, the Bible warns us of forgetfulness. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 12, it says, "Then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Of course, that's to the Israelites. Moses, not going into the promised land, is talking to them. And really, if you read Deuteronomy, I come out with a core message of Deuteronomy. You know what the core message is in my mind? Do not forget God. He says, "I'm not going to be able to go in with you to the promised land. I'm not going to be able to go in with you." So what are his words of wisdom? What is he trying to get across to the Israelites? Do not forget God. And you see it constantly throughout the book. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9, it says, "Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life." He's saying, don't forget God. What a sad thing it is when we forget God. In Deuteronomy, in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 32, it says, "Can a virgin forget her ornaments or a bride her attire?" I think the Bible's trying to get across to us, there's certain things you don't forget in life. There's certain days you don't forget in life. But what's powerful is the second part of that verse. It says, "Can a virgin forget her ornaments or a bride forget her attire?" It says, "Yet my people have forgotten me days without number." There are things that we should not forget. And God is trying to point to us, do not forget the death of my Son. Do not forget the sacrifice that he has given. You know, in America, we live in a very blessed nation. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8, I almost feel like sometimes this is written for America, although we understand the context. It was written to the Israelites right before they're supposed to go into the promised land. But in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 10 and following, I almost feel that it's kind of written to America to some degree because we are so blessed. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, going with the theme of not forgetting God, it says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10, it says, "When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and a thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the filthy, out of the rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you, to do good in the end, then you might say in your heart, my power and might of my hands have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to the fathers as it is this day." You're going to go into the promised land. You are going to be blessed. You're going to be full. You're not going to have to worry about where your next meal is coming from. You're not going to have to worry about the vineyards. It's all going to be there. You're going to go into this land. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be full. You're not going to have to worry where your next meal is coming from. It says you're going to have beautiful homes. Do not forget the Lord your God. There are consequences of forgetting. I think in Judges chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them, who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel." Forgetting can lead to a lost generation. You know, you think of war, it's a sad and and nasty thing when you think about it, all the bloodshed and all of that, when you think of it and you try to break it down, you consider it. But it seems like wars come back in cycles. And you know what I think it happens? When that generation that fought the war kind of leaves. No one remembers the hard times. No one remembers the empty chairs. No one remembers those things. When we don't remember those things, it's a dangerous thing. And isn't the Bible trying to teach us that? Well, what's the solution? In Psalm 77 and verse 11, it says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. Will you remember this day? Will you remember all the days of your life? Remember the works of the Lord. Remember his wonders of old. Because if we remember, it will not lead to indifference. It will lead us to be on fire for the Lord. It will not lead us to be ungrateful or unthankful. If we remember, it will lead us to be a thankful people and appreciative people. And if we remember, it will not lead us into mistakes. It will lead us into improvement. We call your memory today to the sacrifice of God. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. God died for you, and certainly he has given us an opportunity to be saved. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian, or perhaps you need the prayers of the church. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand, as we sing.